Ladies and gentlemen, we do thank you very much for your attention, and now we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the takeoff. Welcome aboard.
What's up, sickos? Welcome to episode 8. Ocho. Coming at you from Grover Beach, just south of Pismo Beach, north of Santa Barbara. About an hour, maybe, I think. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, guys. There's a whole fucking bunch of you now. The podcast total plays are somewhere in the 250 range, and it's averaging out to like 30 to 40 listeners an episode, some more, some less. That's crazy. I don't know how many people are just turning it on and then turning it off, whatever, 60 seconds in when they realize it's just me talking to myself, talking to y'all, with not a whole lot to say most days. But I think that's awesome. I'm getting those numbers up there anyway, and maybe this will, you know, end up developing into something worthy. So today I'm bringing you my second interview slash discussion episode with a fellow traveler from New Jersey, Alexandra, but she goes by Zandra D. Yeah, she put an ad on the Couchsurfing app saying that she was going to be in Santa Barbara, that she was a solo traveler like myself. So, yeah, she said she was just looking to meet up with people for drinks and music or whatever. So we linked up and had a chill first night, just drinking wine on the beach and talking. And then the next night, we recorded this episode. So it's coming to you now. And we must have probably walked fucking 20 miles around Santa Barbara between the two nights. We just walked around, looked at people on the streets and shops and stuff. And it was fun. It was my first, you know, I made friends. I got friends on the road. I got friends. And yeah, it was good just to have an extended conversation with somebody even outside the podcast episode, which, you know, you might like it, you might not. There's a lot of rambling, a lot of small talk that doesn't necessarily go anywhere. But I think there's also a couple good conversation pieces in here. Stories about going through hard times, and I'm sure some people will be able to relate. And so maybe that's a little something you can get out of it. And also just to hear from a young woman who's just into life and trying new things. And she's an artist, so yeah, a lot of cool stuff. I don't know, a lot of random stuff. It's kind of long, a little over an hour of us talking. I hope you dig it. What else we got? Purchased a cheap surfboard a few days back to use for the next couple months on my vacation out here. It's like an 8-foot long foam top, soft top surfboard. Picked it up for $50. The weather hasn't been great the past few days. It's been kind of stormy and windy, which made for a kind of a cool drive yesterday. I was coming up driving between Santa Barbara and Pismo Beach. It was all raining and overcast, and yeah, I was driving through an area that seemed to have like a rainforesty feel, like some long moss hanging from the tree branches and stuff, and these low bushy trees and really green grass and crazy rock formations everywhere. So driving through the hills up there, and the sun kept peeking out through the clouds and rain every now and then, and you'd get some crazy, you know, rays of sunshine stabbing through all the dark stuff. But yeah, it was interesting. Oh, I have I've kept in touch with this woofing farm that's just south of San Francisco in a place called La Selva Beach, SELVA. It's So I'm probably going to end up there within the next few days and start a, they ask for a 3-week commitment to stay there. So, 21 days, something like that. I'll be there. Hopefully I'll get some cool material for the show and learn some new shit and meet some new people and eat some good food and not spend as much on gas. And it's a 10-minute walk from the beach, so hopefully I get my surf on. Oh, I'm also adding a short clip of when me and Zandra were messing around on the guitar before we did the podcasting session in the van in Santa Barbara. So, yeah, about halfway through this show, I put a short clip of that in there just to kind of break up the episode, keep it fresh. I don't know. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. Hope you guys are having a good week. Enjoy. Now it's on.
Okay.
Push the red button.
Awesome. Hello there.
Xandra D.
Yeah, Xandra D. Sometimes I go by Xandra Doe. I figure Doe as in Doe a deer, a female deer. Doe like, can I get some cash money, please?
Ray, like that sun we're missing right now. Yeah. Cloudy day in Santa Barbara.
Yes. And then also like Jane Doe. Could be anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we met on couch surfing yesterday, right?
We did.
Yeah.
My first time on couch surfing. And I have to say, you were not crazy.
Wait, it was yours too? Your first?
Yeah.
Not the first person you've met up with, though, right?
Yeah, the first person.
Well, that's what I said yesterday, and you were giving me shit.
Wait, really? No.
This is both of our first couch surfing
experience? Yeah, I thought this was your first time, like, so that was my first time on couch surfing, but I met a ton of people along the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it was our both first couch surfing experience.
And it's been a very good experience.
Fuck yeah.
We're both on our A game here.
Fuck yeah. We did it right yesterday, drinking wine on the beach.
Yeah.
Santa Barbara.
With two
That's an easy song right there that just needs a couple good notes and
two rainbows in the sky.
Double rainbow.
Drinking wine. Yeah, totally. That brew house was a really good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we heard some country, like old school country. Mm-hmm. What was that song? It's called Joni?
Jolene. Was she singing that?
Yeah, it was a Dolly tune.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a couple other ones.
Yeah, we hit everything on your that post you put out, right? Food, music,
friendship.
Friends. Yeah. check.
Yes, indeed.
And drinks. We got the drinks too.
Yes, yeah. That beer, the habanero pilsner. It was a little too on the spicy side.
Yeah.
But the beers have been really good along the travels. Like, you find local breweries, you just find people who are... I mean, this town is weird, right? So what's one thing weird about Santa Barbara is, like, just not just tasting houses, but promotional pubs. Like, I call it a promotional pub because you walk into a certain bar that may be connected to another bar, and you can't bring your drink. Like, you can't cross this invisible line.
Right.
And I don't know what it's about. It's just like, they said it's like a license thing. So if I have, but like the bar is connected, so I can be like, hey, to my friends in the other bar or the other pub, whatever, but I can't bring across the line with my drink. It's like a weird thing. And then
I don't get it. What's promotional about it?
I think it's promotional because if people are taking photos, maybe, or like, I mean, there's got to be something promotional about it, right? So like, you're promoting your beer in this particular section of the pub.
Oh, okay.
And there's no other lines that can be crossed. So again, photography, if you're taking pictures of your friends, you probably want them to just have the beer with the interior design of a certain place, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's my only understanding of why you can't cross lines in the same building. Then again, I'm traveling the country, crossing tons of borders, state borders, and I still, like, I'm like, what state am I in? Yes, Arizona and New Mexico, yet they're looking very, very similar, but there was a line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're living in Arizona right now, right?
I
came out, you're on like a 1-month road trip from there, sort of, kind of?
No, so what actually, okay, for the month of January, So this
most
is,
recently.
Yeah, so this is what went down a little bit. I ended up being homeless in New Jersey for like, well, couch surfing unintentionally with friends, not on the website, just like spending time with friends. Like every 2 weeks, I would move to a different place. Eventually, I ended up in a shelter in New Jersey.
And this is, you're from New Jersey, right?
Yes.
Okay.
North Jersey, like 20 minutes outside of New York City. I end up getting kicked out of the shelter twice, okay? Over some really, really dumb shit. And excuse my foul language, but that's exactly what it was. I end up on, they have plenty of beds for people to sleep in. I end up being on the streets, living in a playground in like a park slide.
Right.
Dodging police officers because I was arrested like four times, like on four different occasions for simply being homeless and trying to survive out there.
Right. You can jump in the comfy chair, by the way, if you want.
Oh, thanks. So I start, I start a fundraiser. I got really, really sick of like living like an animal. And I end up, this is what happens. I'm on a park slide, dodging police, sick of living like an animal, end up starting a fundraiser on Facebook actually. And I'm shouting out Facebook. Sorry if people hate it, but it's the truth. I wouldn't have made it without you, Faith.
I've been on Facebook. I quit using it for a while, but I like the memories part. I like when it says 7 years ago today you were doing this. I'm like, shit. Yeah.
7 years ago, I saw that shit too. It was like so whimsical. I was like, life is so grand and beautiful. And I'm now just reaching that point again. So it's not quite the Saturn returns, but it's definitely a comeback around. So I end up...
Sorry, I interrupted your train of thought there.
Oh, you're fine. It still chugs along anyway. So I start a fundraiser. So I get donated a van.
Yeah.
Somebody
donated that?
Yeah. Given to me 100% for free.
Fuck.
Yeah. So it's a 1995 Honda Odyssey. I had another friend of mine who works at like a trailer shop. His name's Preston. He's badass. He's a great friend of mine from New Jersey. Probably one of my only ones left in that area.
Hey, Preston.
Yeah. Shout out to Preston. nice. He ended up pulling, he strips out the back for me, like takes out the seat, and then he builds me a shelf. So the shelf next to me is detachable. So if I want to make more room for another person, let's say, or a dog or a cat, or a fox, I don't know. I could take that out, and it was for me to be able to write when I was on the road, because I had my travel blog,
mm-hmm.
and we'll get into that later. But so I ended up doing that, and then that was on my 30th birthday, and I finally had a
when's your birthday?
August 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had a roof over my head, a tin roof, a mobile home, a home on wheels. And then I started my journey, and it's been a lot better than living on the streets behind warehouses and inside of park slides and whatnot.
Surely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been cool. So anyway.
So when did you leave Jersey?
I left in, what, August. August 20. I left like a week after my birthday. Week after my 30. Happy birthday to the 30. And it has been a dirty 30 because...
Haven't heard that yet.
Yeah, have you never heard that? Oh my
that's
god,
that's perfect though. I gotta post that for mine in February. Yeah, living in a van.
Living in a van. Dirty thirty. Yes, indeed. But you end up, So at dirty 30, a little bit after August, and So Phoenix. I met my boyfriend through a friend. We started out as friends, obviously, and he, like, wined and dined me, and I was like, all right, you're pretty cool. He, like, yeah. And then he had to move out of his apartment, so I was like, could I come stay with you? And he's like, surely. But me being who I am, this is now more of, like, a choice of deciding this month to leave and to finish my cross-country trip, see more of California, and then... settle down a little bit more in Phoenix and then continue my journey in a couple months to like the Dakotas. I want to get down to Baja California too, that mm-hmm. peninsula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friends just got back from there. We were talking about their mm-hmm. not the funnest trip in the world, but you got to make your way.
Yeah. It's been, you meet like a lot of fun people on the road. There's been some wild experiences. I checked out different alternative communities along the way. So, mm-hmm. You got the Arco Santi, which is still in development of being an alternative community. I mean, it is and it isn't. Like,
where is that?
That is right, like 20 minutes outside of Sedona, or about an hour, 40 minutes outside of Sedona, Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's that place that was designed by an engineer and architect in the late 1960s, early 1970s. He ended up, I'm sorry, his name, I forget his name right now, but he designed this place, and it's modeled, it looks similar to Tatooine.
Tatooine.
In Star Wars, right? So that's where, like, all the smugglers and riffraff.
Mm-hmm. And the weird people with the big sticks and the gas masks or whatever that just made, like, gurgling noises.
I believe so. I feel like all my Star Wars friends would be like, how do you not know this by now? Like, but, yeah, so they end up... so that's how the place ends up being. It's on a cliffside. It's really fucking cool. So I went there just for a day visit.
Mm-hmm.
They mostly have, like, architect workshops and art workshops there. So, like, ceramics classes and that sort of thing. And I think you can stay there as kind of a retreat center, but I don't think it's, unless you volunteer there full time, it's not a permanent living situation. So that's still in development.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you have the Earthship communities.
Yeah. You got to see the first one of those.
Yes.
Got to stay in it?
Yes, I got to stay in the first one that was built in 1973 in Taos, New Mexico. And with the... It's on Airbnb, which was really cool. And there's a... You can go to the visitor center. That's just a little bit... a couple miles outside of the Rio... The gorge that's over there.
Okay.
Yeah, and they have... That's a community where people are living and getting their earth ships built. And then they have kind of an explanation of the irrigation system that they use, the water system, how they're operated by solar panels. And that is also designed in the 1970s. So these things have been around for a long time. And then you have places like Slab City.
Yeah.
Yes. So that was where I was just before I met you.
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't really know much about Slab City. Kind of like I didn't know much about these other places, but I've been to a lot of festivals, right? And I've been camping. So when you head into Slab City, it kind of, in some ways, it looks like a festival grounds. I mean, uh-huh. There's a lot of desert, but you have people who made their own homes and spaces out of junk, really. I mean, like car parts, mobile homes, tents, and it's like in Burning Man these days. I've never actually been to Burning Man.
I've always wanted to check that out.
Yeah, but it's simple. Like,
is that Nevada?
Black Rock City. It's Black Rock City, right?
Sounds right.
Yeah, I don't know if that's in Nevada. It's out in the desert somewhere. Probably just a couple miles from where it is.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a day over. When you start traveling, time becomes really strange.
Yeah.
Especially with the time zone changes.
Like, yeah. Oh. I don't pay attention to that. I like Arizona's take on it. I'm like, nah, we're just going to keep it where it's at. We're not shifting. You know, Arizona doesn't recognize daylight savings.
Oh, really?
They just stay the same all year.
I did not know that. Do you know Arizona?
Yeah, they don't fuck with it. They're like, and they, you know, are they worse off from it? Like, they're just like, nah.
Wait, dude, thank you. So another fun fact about Arizona, there's free health care for everyone that lives in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yep, the whole state of Arizona is free health insurance. Boom. I was like, that is like the first thing. I'm just like, oh yeah, so maybe I get this ankle fixed up.
How have I not heard of that?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
And they got the longest driver's licenses everywhere. I remember when I was there, it was like a 30-year expiration when I had my Arizona driver's license.
Yeah.
Something crazy. A lot of old blind people driving around.
I may end up being one of them. My eyes have not... I'm only 30, guys, and my eyes have been tainted by some of the things I've seen on the road. Okay. Slab City. Yeah, it was cool. So you got that festival vibe from it. They call it the last free place on Earth. Let me put this out there. I got pulled over by a cop in Slab City. Second day I was there. Now, who the hell gets pulled over in the last free place on Earth? Me, Xander Dow. He was really fucking cool, actually. So my experiences with cops haven't been that great, but he was really cool. He was just, basically was, like, acting like a father. Like, can you just put your seatbelt on
Is there a lot of traffic? You said it's not a big place, right? Like, how many cars would you say you're driving around at any one time? Or is it mostly all just...
A lot of people drive around there, but there's one road that people drive really fast through.
Mm-hmm.
And someone actually just got killed in Slab City. Like, I got hit by a car that was driving too fast that wasn't someone living in Slab City.
Right.
Drove too fast, hit him, and killed him and his dog. So right when I got there is why the sheriff's department was now patrolling Slab City more than ever before. And I actually ended up meeting the girl. We had a fire most of the nights. We had a fire, but the last night I was there, I met this girl named Allegra. She's really cool. She's like traveling in a bus filled with people that are doing their thing as kind of like a collective. And that was her friend that got killed. So we ended up me and my friend Paul made a sign to tell people to slow down. So that sign that you see when you go into Slab City, it's a part of Folk Heart Creations, Xander D, and my friend Paul from Poland.
Nice.
Yeah. You had this one cat there named Big Bear who took my friend's dog because he wanted to teach him a lesson about don't keep your dog in a leash when it's raining outside for like 5 hours straight.
Yeah.
Even though I took the dog in my car, I think he like heard our mental kind of cry that it wasn't cool to do that. Some chick in there who was a part of this one campsite, I think she was getting a little, I don't know, threatened by my presence. So she was trying to establish some sort of dominance out there, like put me on the spot in front of a bunch of people in the middle of a fire. It was like a beautiful night. We were making music. We're all hanging out. We just went to the hot springs over there. She turns around and she's like, I'm gonna have to ask you to leave my campsite. Not even that nice. Like, I don't want you on my campsite. This girl's like a 20, like, I don't care your age. She's in her like early 20s, I think. I don't know where this princess comes from, but I wanted to be like, I mean, this is supposed to be a free place, a communal space, and a place where people get to know each other and live happily and freely. I mean, that was the vibe that I heard about Slab City.
Right.
And I thought was the intention behind Slab City. Communal environment where we're not just trying to kick people out or tell people what to do over petty shit. And I think I said something that she didn't like. I think I said something about false shamans. And she was quick.
You didn't mention that part last.
Her and her her man there were very quick to want me off their campsite as a result. Mm. And you know what? I call it like I see it.
There's a lot of bullshit in those realms, for sure.
I call it like I see it. And I'm sorry, honey, if you felt like it was directed at you. And maybe there was a part of me that was like, as a shaman.
Maybe she needs to learn a real skill. maybe you're not wrong at all.
Yeah.
She just got a little offended by the truth.
Listen, one thing is that I've noticed from people that practice or like teach certain arts or teach certain, modes of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Being quickly offended by things is never the answer. Keeping a state of neutrality. Now, I'm not by any means claiming that I'm a shaman or like, but I've met a lot of people that have been great teachers to me.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I found for sure is that they have been some of the most understanding, compassionate, and if they want to get something done, they don't have to say it out loud. So they use different types of forces to accomplish the things that need to accomplish.
Right.
And a lot of times, from the one people that I've known that have been shamans, have used spirit as like a guide, and understanding that spirit does not mean everything is happy-go-lucky all the time. That spirit can sometimes be a force that may affect people in a certain way that may not be to their liking, but may be a part of the process of that person's journey, taking them to the next place that they need to go. And that could have worked in that respect with that young woman that affected me. If you read my story on my blog, you'll see why that's been a hard lesson for me. Being told that I can't be in certain places, being kicked out of places, when I'm just being myself or being or of thinking that everything, or just being, if I can just use that, existing as a human in a group of people, or even as myself, solo in a space, and kind of having this other force tell me that you no longer belong here. And that's really like where my journey started. The idea of me not belonging, because even when I was living on a land that I was born on, I was still being told that I couldn't exist there. And that is what was the theme that kept occurring over and over. So being in a, traveling in a van, if I feel like it's time to go, I can get in my van and cruise. Like,
it's a pretty nice aspect of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, wake up next to some people that don't quite seem friendly or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just
leave.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the hardest part is when you do meet people that you vibe with and you are friendly with, and then you find out there's like someone in the mix that maybe for some reason has an issue with you, and they're backing up the other person, and it's like, well, all right, my presence here, like, I'm not quite sure why this, because this one person doesn't like it, now the whole crew is taking issue. And that's the truth of the matter. Like, they didn't really take issue with me, any of the other guys that were in the group, and certainly not the other lady that was there. Like, if any, she let me stay at her campsite that night, but that girl kind of like flipped out on me.
Yeah.
But you'll find that it's really nice to just, yeah, pick up and go. But I'm not running from anything.
Right.
And I'm trying to, like, and so I settled down in Phoenix for now. And we'll see what happens next.
Yeah. I kind of see myself, like, working half the year and traveling half the year, maybe, for mm-hmm. For the foreseeable future. Unless I can get a cheap plane ticket to Spain or something. I might just say, fuck it.
So.
Write a whole new book.
Yeah, have you written a book so far?
No, I just meant, like, start completely over.
Next goal, writing books.
Other side of the world. Yeah. No, I kept a journal when I was in Iraq. That was actually one of the first episodes I did for this podcast, was reading some of my journal entries mm-hmm. from that. So that was kind of interesting. Mom talked me into doing it when I was over there.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I did that.
Yeah. Is that what inspired?
Because my memory sucks. So.
Same here. Yes. Again. So, okay. I have this blog. If you guys ever want to check it out. It's,
yeah,
yeah.
Plug it.
Yeah. It's called. Thank you. You know I was going to do it anyway. No. All right. No. Thank you so much. Okay. Folk heart. So folk as in people, and then heart as in love, and creations as in creator. So it's art from the heart, art for the people. It's my travel blog. I have music on there. I post recipes on the road. Photography.
So if you just Google those words, it'll show up?
I don't know.
Like, you have a website, or you?
It's a website. It's a website. Yeah. So it's www.folk, folkheart. So folk heart creation, creations.com. Yeah, and I also have an Instagram that you can find a lot of my artwork on, and then I have a personal one attached to that. But if you want my personal one, just message me, because there's more photography on there. But the website has the stories on the road.
Oh yeah. Did you want to put your Instagram out there, or?
Yeah, it's still, no. It's Folk Heart Creations.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so at Folk Heart Creations, folkheartcreations.com. Nice. I go by Xandra Doe. I also have a van that is decorated in spray paint. I tried my hand at a little camo. So I use like the plants and the foliage from areas that I travel through. And then I use them as stencils so that when I put them on my car and then spray paint around them, they create this kind of like illusion of a shadow of the silhouette and the shadow of the plants.
What was the person like who donated that? That's such a crazy thing that like you just... Yeah, I want to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that's a friend of mine. His name is Dragon. Yeah, his name is Dragon. He's an Eastern European friend. I actually met him a couple years back at a Freemason lodge.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I was given, another friend of mine was a Freemason, and he introduced me to Dragon, and Dragon is kind of, I think, one of, like, the heads or chairs of that particular lodge. And I got to know him. He showed me around, and he just saw my post and was like, let me hook it up for you, sister. And he took me out to dinner on his 30th birthday. My 30th birthday.
I was like, yeah, what a guy.
I am Dragon. Yeah, he knew.
That's awesome. No, I thought it was like a stranger gave it to you or something.
I mean, he's kind of a stranger. Yeah. I only met him once before. And that's what I'm also talking about with, like, to mention what I'm actually doing is I'm on my way to San Jose to check out the Rosicrucian Egyptian Museum. Mm-hmm. Rosicrucians are also like an organization similar to the Freemasons and Knights of Templar. So I was a member of that order back in 2011. I stayed a part of them until about 2015. I had to shut down my membership because money was not coming in at that time either. But I can always rejoin it. And again, Freemasons, that brotherhood and that sisterhood, there's the Sisters of the Eastern Star, I believe, that are the female version of the Freemasons.
Okay.
Then the Rosicrucians are male and female, so it's like unisex. What I saw by him, like, you know, people talk about Freemasons and that conspiracy theory.
Right.
Okay, me being a part of the Rosicrucians and me also, like, him and his donation to me, it just, like, reinforced that some of that stuff is malarkey. That they may be running stuff behind the scenes, but I think it comes from a place of love and not necessarily a place of,
Are they really running stuff, or is it just cool to be?
Well, dude,
I don't know anything about the Freemasons or anything.
It's like I think it's like it's just a fraternity, like any,
you helping each other out.
Yeah, you remember, like, Skull and Crossbones, like, the Skull and Bones, like, that fraternity that...
Like that.
Is that what done it? Yeah, so the...
It's my fraternity.
There you go. No. Oh, okay, because it's not like some fraternity in Yale. Oh my, all of a sudden I got into an accent, right? Isn't that some fraternity in Yale? that, like, a lot of the U.S. presidents were a part of, there was this... like the myth or the lore behind that fraternity. And I think when I say running stuff, like, organizations with a certain order can be very influential.
Right, there you go.
The same way any type of solidarity can be influential, like the riots that just happened in France.
Right.
Yeah.
The gas thing.
Sure, I don't even know.
It's about the gas prices. They were like, they're gonna, because gas in Europe is already like, I don't know what it is.
They sell it by the
liter over there. But yeah, that's what it was all about. They were gonna make it like almost impossible to travel with how expensive it was gonna be.
This is what I mean.
Fuel in
the French have got it
going. Petrol.
So that's why they set the cars on fire. Like, we're burning our
13
cars.
Euros a liter.
Dude, oh, it's my gosh. That's too much. See, like, sometimes I don't know the reasons behind why groups form what they do, but one thing I enjoy about it is at least they form. Like, some people can even hate me for saying this, but, like, if you have a goal in mind and you can get enough people on board with your idea, they're, like, that's what I find ingenious. Like, even if I don't stand by the reasoning that you're doing it. Like, so hate groups, for example. I'm not saying I promote hate groups by any means. I mean, I'm telling you, like, Slab City, that one girl shined a little hate on me.
Right.
And I got really upset by that, you know? So that's not my way of handling things. You know, I don't try to discriminate against people. But those that have a belief in what they do, and maybe they take that organization and they can influence, that's powerful. And so I want to see, like, people that are living, like, we kind of have this nomadic lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Organize more.
Yeah. They call it
There's a bunch of us.
Yeah.
It's not going to be ignorable soon. Like, all the, you know, getting tickets for parking somewhere overnight. Like, it's bullshit. Mm-hmm. And that here in a few years, there's going to be enough that, like, it's not going to be an ignorable thing.
Let me be honest with you. They should also drop down some prices of the cost of living.
Yeah.
Because maybe if the cost of people still have to travel, but if the cost of living was different, I think more people would be settling down. And maybe just leave for a couple of years or so. But you're going to have to change the amount you pay people or the cost of living places. And make it so people can buy homes out there. Like, buy homes. And the people that buy homes,
be a little bit more, you know, open to having people, to having travelers. And that's why I'm really excited about couchsurfing.com. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, there's a guy I'm going to meet up with.
In San Jose?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's going to be my first time staying at someone's house. But he's like had 47 travelers go through there. And you get references and people are able to meet people from other countries. And, you know, you have a place to stay wherever you go if you can get on the ball a couple days in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to use it more for sure.
Yeah. Can I smoke in here?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Oh, one thing about Slab City. So, yeah, I mean, in the morning, I just got handed, like, a bunch of weed. Like, some guy was like, here's some weed for you, here's some weed for you, and here's some weed for you. There's,
That's up.
Yeah. There's a lot of giving over there, too. Like, giving and receiving. People have your back, and... Actually, the hitchhiker that I met... So, listen, the hitchhiker I met on the way to Slab City, he didn't even want to go to Slab City because he's been hitchhiking for 30 decades. No, not 30 no. decades. Three... Sorry,
like
man.
It's 600 years.
Oops. Okay, edit that.
Maybe. Decades 10, right?
Oops.
I suck at those, too.
It is 10 years. It is. It's like what we saw.
Century is 100.
Okay. So, yes. Yeah. He's been traveling, whatever. Okay. For
30 years.
For 3 decades just sounds so much more intense, right? Because that's a really long time. I've only been on the road for 6 months.
Yeah.
And, like, I've been in a van hitchhiking.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. And he had... we drove for 4 hours. I mean, he had stories. He's ridden... He actually rides the freight trains.
Wow.
Freight trains, yeah. He has kids all up and down this great nation. he actually has, like, a daughter that's older that's in living in Mexico now. A ton of adventures and stories. He didn't want to go to Slab City, though. He's like, yeah, I've been there, done that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I thought that was meaning that, like, it takes a certain type of person to want to settle down in that area. But... I think it also takes a certain type of person to want to travel for that many years.
And he's been doing that by choice the whole 30 years. Yeah,
mm-hmm. He loves it.
Yeah. That was one of the things Michelle, the other girl I did an interview with for the podcast, she did, I forget from where to where, but she did like, I think it was at least like a couple weeks of hitchhiking over some long distance. And she said like some of the people she met and the conversations she had, like, she highly recommended putting yourself in a position where you rely on the goodness of others. Like, and yeah, hitchhiking, like, you can't just walk to your destination. Like, you gotta get picked up, and
you're
relying on people that aren't gonna, like, murder you or rape you or whatever. Like, and she said it was an amazing experience. So, because whenever you put yourself out there, more often than not, good people are gonna help you out.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a good for building trust, confidence in yourself, and social skills. Because when you go out there, you have to just, if you're in a position, you have to say hello, hi, like, can I get a ride somewhere? And you can't be shy about it either.
Yeah, and there's a big misconception that, like, strangers are more bad than good. Like, you're going to run into trouble. Yeah, isn't that crazy? It's weird.
Yeah, I actually just, so on a more positive side of the things that have happened, because you know what? Sometimes the darkness can shines brighter in my life than the lightness, but beside, like, so many beautiful things have happened. And the tiny little, like, I don't know, snippets in my world of when I was broke in my van, or just needing assistance in some way. So I'm at a truck stop. It was like a Pilot or a Loves or something. And I had my window open a cracked, and a guy just hands me $20 through the window. I'm dead sleeping. He just knocks on my window, gives me $20. I was like, okay. Yeah. I've had people that, let's think of some of the other stuff that has happened that's been really cool. Sorry. It's like, I let me keep my mind in that because thank you for helping me remember all the beautiful things. People letting me, my friend in New Orleans, for example, I was painting outside of his house. He invites me in, lets me paint in his backyard, ends up buying a whole bunch of art pieces from me.
Mm-hmm.
I make a display. Then he has me meet some of his friends. I got to know him for a couple days, and I went on my way. I met a musician in Austin, Texas. He let me stay at his house for a week, met all of his musician friends. We made music together. Went to a couple of his shows, got to know some of the other, like, more of the deeper into the music scene in that area. You have people who will invite you in for, like, a shower. Oh, yeah, so how about this? At the pilot, one of the pilots I was at in Texas, the guy just saw me in my van that worked there and let me take a shower for free.
That's legit.
Yeah. He, like, offered that to me. You'll have people, a woman right here in California. I was at the McDonald's right before I was heading towards the botanical garden, and she asked me, she was like, here's $5 for, do you need breakfast, honey? Here's $5 for breakfast. And I was like, sure, I'll take $5. Like, thank you very much.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I've had people invite me to, like, play with, like, street musicians invite me to play music with them. People who have had conversations with me while I'm painting. So in Burlington, Vermont, for example, I was painting by Lake Champlain. This woman's there, and she was like, we had a great conversation about the area, sailing. She said that she really enjoyed my art. She didn't buy any pieces from me, unfortunately, but she gave me money. Yeah, right? I'm like, do you want this or not? Like, but I don't know. Like, she was just kind of, I think a lot of people, believe it or not, like, people are also shy. Not just the people traveling, the people that approach you. Like, some people, what I found the most endearing are the people that approach you not because they feel sorry for you, but because they want to help the cause, like, or, like, whatever you're doing. Mm. They think it's cool that what you're doing. They think it's awesome that you're making art or music, or
yeah,
a podcast, or you're trying something different.
It's definitely better than, like, pity money, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah.
And they want to contribute. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I've had people be like, you're going to need this, kid. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'll still take it, but, like... But even then, it's like, whatever. It's great... Like you said, great lessons with hitchhiking in gratitude, mm-hmm, trust, and building connections and friendships, and that getting over that anxiety if you're nervous about meeting other people or breaking outside of your shell.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're helping me out with that. Awesome. I think I'll be more willing to approach people and
do that. And also today, come with me, like, hang out with this guy that I just met on the corner. Like, he just invited us to chill. I told him, I was like, I'm hanging out with this guy that...
Margarita Roy?
Margarita... Hey, who put self-proclaimed Roy boy. So you want to chill with the boys. Like, we just kick it, have a couple of Bud Light margaritas, and...
We could do that.
Yeah. Another great lesson I learned was, I had this idea of, like... I don't know, of what travel... I had an idea in mind of traveling and, like, what it should be versus, like, what it is sometimes.
Yep, I talked about some of that in my last episode. Like, whenever I quit working full-time, it's mm-hmm, like, I realized that I don't want to not work. Like, everybody has this idea that we're out here, like, sitting on the beach drinking wine, which we are. But they're thinking that, like, there's bliss in doing nothing. And I think that's completely wrong. And that's one thing that everybody, especially doing the 9-to-5 thing with, like, the 20 or 30 year plan in mind, that, like, oh, I'm going to pay off my house and then I'm going to, you know, go live on a beach somewhere and just do nothing. They think that that's, like, the ultimate dream. Yeah. And it's not. I think we're finding out young when it matters that, like, doing nothing sucks, man. You got to, like, you got to have a purpose. Yeah. You got to have some kind of a project. Thank something you. To get into, but and friends, yeah, was the other thing that I realized. Mm. Yeah, we talked about that. That, like, even when you're in your, like, hometown or whatever, working, you know your coworkers and you know your friends of friends and stuff. But, like, how often do you just go out and meet random people?
Yeah. Can I ash this somewhere?
Yeah. I mean, the floor is fine.
Okay. Cool. There's the bare bones of bare bones, the fundamentals. So you're at these bare bones, you're staring at them, and, like, that skull and crossbones you have on your flesh there, and you see that when you are just doing nothing and you have a lot of time to chill, that the human spirit wants to do something.
Like, we're not vegetables. We're not just sitting there and, I mean, not putting vegetables down or anything, like actual physical vegetables that grow. You guys do a lot for sorry, vegetables. Okay, yeah, but the you know, they could be doing a lot. They're doing a lot more as part of the ecosystem here. Everything serves its purpose, right? But for me, I realize that my purpose can't just be sitting around doing nothing all day. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm making art and music and writing and hopefully and helping people with my experiences. Also with as far as the traveling goes, like tips and tricks. And that's similar to what you're doing too on your podcast here. Mm-hmm. I mean, philosophy, diving into like the depths of your own human spirit as I've been doing and giving people some, a little bit of help for when they're starting their journey mm-hmm. into like this, this new way of life.
Yeah. I've had a bunch of people hit me up too, like on Instagram and Facebook, like a coworker from Kentucky and then somebody else from West Virginia just saying that, you know, it's like inspiring to hear these types of things. And that's like, yeah, that's one of the big reasons I'm doing it. It's just like share stories like yours and show people that it's not a crazy idea or, I mean, what is it, like worst case scenario, you're right back where you started. Like you got a fucking free van.
I know.
Like if that thing burns down tomorrow, like, yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, right? If it burns down tomorrow, but when anything burns down, like the Library of Alexandria, right? Or Alexandria, something burns down, that knowledge is still exists. It might not be materialized anymore, but it still exists. So that's what I'm going to go with. Like, wisdom can't be bought.
Yeah, exactly.
It's knowledge put into practice. And that's why I highly recommend people that want to go out into the road and or hitchhike or start a new life for themselves. It may be easy, and it may not be easy, but you can make it easy. Just keep your mentality in a good place. No matter how many times, like, there's little things that knock you down, there will be someone out there that'll have your back, even if it's a complete stranger.
And after you have enough hard times, there's a few things that seem like they can beat you up after a while, right? It's like, you get them out of the way when you're young in life, and then it's not a whole lot to worry about when you get it. It's like,
oh gosh. I mean, I was
try your worst,
dude. I was crying, and it has. I'm saying they have. Like maybe I have. I have no idea. There has been countless times I was sitting in my van, and this is for like me saying like for anyone who's also like I'm not trying to be preachy over here, but it's like keeping that positive mentality. If you have someone to call back home or you have friends from where you live or you have a place that you can always go back to. I don't have that. I don't have family members that I can go home to, and I don't have a place. Well, honestly, now in Phoenix I do, but when I started this journey, I didn't. And that was challenging sometimes when I was sitting in my van and I really needed a friend to call and I really needed to tell someone like the crazy shit that just went down. And so I would write and I would just go maybe into my photographs or something, or I'd make art or play a song or go into the mountains or go by a beach and experience something other than human connection, because I didn't have that other than the human connection I had with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, but I cried a lot the first couple months because I'm like, what am I doing? Where am I going? What's next?
There's no distractions when you're doing this. It's like you're completely with yourself, and you're aware of everything you're doing and everything you're not doing.
Yeah.
And there's very little. People get distracted working every day.
Yeah.
You get too caught up in, gotta go to the grocery store, gotta do the laundry, gotta pick up the girlfriend from work, gotta, I don't know, go ahead.
But that's why I had to leave also for like a month. So it's weird, like you get in that mentality of always having something you have to do. Mm-hmm. And when you realize that you don't have to do anything, then all of a sudden you want stuff to do, as we were just saying. But you want to be able, like as far as I go, I want to be able to do it because I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So like I want to call you because I miss you and I love you and I want to talk to you and tell you what's going on.
Right.
I want to write this song not because I have to, but because it feels good to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I want to write this about my experience, not because there's tragedy in it and I need to get it off my chest, but because I want to share with other people and I want to remember the joyous experiences that I had while I was out here creating an entirely new life. I mean, I come from a background of, I came from a good family. We had, my mother was a single mother, but she had me and my sister. I had a couple stepdads along the way. I went to college. Right out of college, I got a job in New York City. I ended up being in the city working from like a 10 to 6 job, got another job doing photography, writing blogs, but working at it was still like a retail store, so it was like online retail.
Okay.
Got another job doing, selling modern furniture. Like, I mean, these were all a part of me having being in that structured mentality that I need to get a job, work,
save.
Yeah, and what I was finding out was that in New Jersey, in at least in the area I was in, being one person trying to make money, save, live alone, pay for my rent, my car, my credit card, my insurance, like this, that, and all the other things, student loans, mm-hmm. all of those things, I was just like, oh my God, like I am just basically like paddling and then drowning, doggy paddling my head's underwater. And when people said living paycheck to paycheck, that's exactly, so I'm like, what am I really living for? Like, is this living or am I just surviving? And then I got a taste of what just surviving felt like. And now I'm looking for a balance mm-hmm. between the two. Because just surviving is when you're sitting out there on a stoop somewhere behind a warehouse or in a slide, dodging police officers, looking for food, drinking rainwater, trying to figure out how you're going to wash your clothes, wash up in a public bathroom, wash up in a library, and still try to find some sort of motivation to create art or start a project. That was like survival for me. So having this van and traveling around is like a combination of the two. Yeah, it's like it's been a crazy balancing act.
Well put. Yeah, I wonder how long I'm gonna end up doing this whole traveling around thing. I wonder when sorry, I'm stoned now. That's what...
No, it's okay.
I got too many thoughts running around in my head.
Yeah, you know I like to talk.
No, that was a great little rant there. I loved it.
I got plenty of them.
You sucked me in.
Oh yeah. It's like, where my guys? Where my guys? And then fuss out front in, call one coming. Where my guys? Where my guys? Kind of sounds like a lullaby, but I should say.
I like it.
Fuss out front in, call one coming. Just a brush fire, just a brush fire, till we wild out. Realized I drank all that wine, or something like that. Realized I drank all that wine, or something like that. I don't know. And then I go in with the oohs and ahs, and it's heard it through the grapevine, right? Okay, but then it goes into.
My other interview with that girl, Michelle, was about an hour. Yeah, that episode was an hour, and then I've been trying to put out 20 minutes a week, just me talking, looking like a crazy person, yeah. Talking to myself.
Oh, that's good. Do you film is it just you talking, or do you film your face?
Nope, just talking. Mm-hmm. I don't like the whole, I know people are real into like the YouTube channels and stuff.
I might give that a shot though too, because it's kind of, you could do that as well. People like to listen to podcasts are cool too though, I think, because if you're doing something for travel, mm-hmm. you're doing it like on the... People are listening while they're driving, maybe.
Yep.
And so it's better to do it that way. I mean, unless people do just sit at home and that like gamer thing has really gotten crazy.
My dad does it when he plays Freeso in the mornings. I got him into podcasts recently. I got him turned on to like Joe Rogan and Joey Diaz and. I got to see all those guys. Do you listen to those guys, by the way?
No, I heard Joe Rogan's podcast. I thought it actually...
Ari Shaffir.
Nah, you gotta show me some cool stuff. I actually listened to more. There's this one guy. It's this guy. He does... it's in my old email. He does... he has esotericism. Like, he's a Freemason. He does esoteric occultism podcasts about, like, really weird shit. I used to listen to him. Red Ice Radio, which they turned to Red Ice Creations.
Oh, shit.
They turned into White Supremacists, though. Dude, I don't know what the fuck happened. No, I swear to God. In 2000... Okay, so 2011... I'm not lying. 2011, 2012, it was, like, all this, like, weird... Like, talking about the Anunnaki, talking about the Mayan calendar, talking about Egyptian mythology. You have people talking about the U.S. military and other military doing remote viewing, military experiments, really cool, like, espionage shit. Like, I'm talking, like, really fucking badass stuff. And I would listen to it, like, I was in there back in the archives. I was, like, I turned it back on in 2017. This dude's talking about, like, the white power movement. They call it the right... What did they call it? Alt-right? They started talking about the alt-right.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was. I'm listening doing laundry because I had, like, that nanny position.
It's crazy how much stuff's out there. It's like Joe Rogan. Do you listen to Joe Rogan?
I only heard one interview that he did with the Iceman.
Okay. Well, Wim Hof. Those are... Yeah, he's done a bunch with him. So, okay. Joe Rogan alone has... I think he's on 1,300 and some episodes, and his are, like, 2 to 3 hours a piece. It's insane. Like, you want something to do while you're driving? You're bored of listening to the same fucking CD over and over? This is what I, like, got out of podcasting so much, is that, like, I used to have the iPod, you know, and be at the airport or whatever, have like an hour to kill. I'd just start scrolling through the iPod, like, all right, what could I stand to listen to one more time? I'm like, oh God, I've heard that so much. Podcast now, it's like I learn something every fucking day.
There's some really cool shit out there. Yeah,
Joe Rogan alone, 3,000 hours.
Can I be totally honest about Joe Rogan? Like, he's all right, but he's like not that smart. And I think that that's what makes people like him, because he's just like, his whole thing is like,
he's open-minded, and he's curious, and he asks good questions. He's a good interviewer. He gets a lot of variety on his show. It's what I like. They'll go from, you know, talking about, like, MMA to hunting to psychedelics. I like when he gets, like, experts that talk about mushrooms and acid and stuff like that. That's my kind of stuff. But this is a Joe Rogan t-shirt, by the way. Higher primate. It's like a DMT molecule, I think.
I think he rode the psychedelic dick a little too hard, though. Like, I mean, I'm talking, like, that's been a huge theme in my life, too. Like I said, I was, like, surrounded by... I wish we were recording this right now, too.
It is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Oh, Lord. So, like, got me... But we were just talking about, like... Oh, yeah, so Joe Rogan, you have him, like, the psychedelic... Like, as I said before, acid, like, and weed have, like, been following me around, like, the whole... That counterculture, which is now not even feeling like it's counterculture. I feel like everyone and their mother does it. Has been around me, like, so heavily. So, you have... When he, like, figured out about the spirit mall... Or started doing his tripping and whatnot. And I don't know if he talks about that in his podcast.
DMT, yeah. He talks about doing DMT and stuff.
Yeah, and I've also...
Mushrooms.
I've also done DMT and mushrooms. I've never done acid. But I've been offered it like crazy. Again, when you don't want something, you get offered it like crazy, like all the time. I mean, I think he's like a little bit over like hyped.
Well, but you don't listen to him, you said. You said you listened to a little bit of one episode.
Watched his comedy special.
His comedy is great.
Joe Rogan's comedy. I hate it.
I got to go to the comedy store in LA. On my way through, I went 3 fucking nights in a row. I got to see Rogan. I was supposed to see Joey Diaz. I got to see a ton of great comics. It was great.
The comedy that I could really appreciate, I just saw it. He's a Spanish dude. He used to be an actor back in the day. He teaches about Mexican and Native American, like Mexican Native American, the Pueblo, like mythology, and gives lessons about like the Spaniards and the conquering of certain parts. He's a comedian, but
so he does that in his act or as a podcast?
He does it in his act, and he teaches. You can get it seen on Netflix or whatever. He teaches it on a chalkboard, and he splices in like hilarious anecdotes and dancing, and he's really entertaining. Like, it's an all around experience, but he's teaching you at the same time, which is like really cool. I mean, as much as I love a good shit talker or someone who just like shares their opinion, I also can really get down with like change it up.
Yeah.
And then you have what's his face, those two guys, they just had a show that they put out, a comedy special,
Bumping Mics,
is that what it is, with what's his, the guy that did Insomniac, Dave Attell?
Yep.
What's this other guy's name?
Dan. Yeah, Bumping Mics.
So, I remember Dave Attell. The reason I like Dave Attell is because he's just like the surliest. His friend, the other comedian that he rolls with, does a lot of shit talking in his act, which I can appreciate. And so they bounce off of each other really well. And what I always loved about Dave Attell's comedy is, like, as Insomniac, he kind of started the whole, like, comedy travel series. Like, just traveling around different places. All night long, his antics that he came across. He always looks so fucking tired too, which is great. His bags under his eyes are like, I don't think they ever go away. And I saw that series like a month ago.
Yeah,
I thought it was well done. They would bring people in the audience up. They have like different comics that would be scattered.
Mm-hmm.
Have them do like a little guest appearance on stage.
How crazy is that? That's they say comedy is like picking up to now, with, like, especially with Netflix, you know, promoting people like crazy and giving people money to do specials and everything. But like, how crazy of a concept is that? That like, just going somewhere and laughing for an hour is an experience that, you know, like, millions of people are willing to pay like a good night out's money for, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And it is crazy, though. Like, you leave that, it feels like a day on the ski slopes or something. You just leave, and like this, oh, man, it feels fucking good to be alive.
That's
like,
awesome, yeah.
Just because how often do you fucking laugh for, like, an hour straight?
It's so true. You should definitely check out some comedy. There is a... I actually got to go to the Comedy Cellar in New York, like, a friend of mine.
Nice.
Yeah, we just rolled up one night. There was... The Comedy Cellar's so much smaller. Or the Cellar, whatever... is so much smaller than I imagine it would be, because when you see it on film, and I obviously, like, the show Louis, Louis C.K. kind of brought it to life more for people, because they always have him coming in and out of there.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch that show, but I know Louis C.K.
Yeah, he's a fan. Hilarious. His first special, Lucky Louis, was like real. It was a show. It was hilarious. And then you know that he was on Opie and Anthony.
See, I don't even know about Opie and Anthony, but Rogan talks about him all the time, and all the old school comedy guys talk about it. It was an old talk show?
It was, yeah, they had it, and they moved to, I don't know if they got their start on SiriusXM, but they ended up getting on, and a friend of mine who now works for SiriusXM, she interned on the Opie and Anthony show right when there was that controversy where Anthony, I don't know if Opie left or Anthony left, one of them left. They got into a conflict of some sort, and there was only one of them there, and she was, like, learning, she was a producer on it, or an intern underneath the producer.
Right.
Yeah, and so that was, like, a whole thing, and that's kind of why the show, I think, I don't know if they're back together, but I think that's that conflict that happened about 2 years ago, maybe three, is what created that kind of, like, rift in that whole, in their whole series, and why people kind of stopped listening to them. But he was on the show initially. And my brother-in-law used to, like, talk about it all the time. Like, he would listen to him on his way to work. And, yeah. But the Cellar, so I saw a couple of comedians there. It was fantastic. One of the guy comedians made a song about me and my friend. Yeah, I think, because they were like, what do you guys do for a living? And wait, this is so great. My friend works at a grocery store. He part-time works as a videographer.
Okay.
But when he was put on the spot about what he did... Oh, he's a videographer now. I was like, oh my god.
That's what he said. He's a videographer.
Yeah, I mean, and I was like, oh god. And then he's like, what do you do? I was like, I was unemployed.
See, I'm always baffled by that question now, too, because I've done so many fucking things over the years. People are like, what do you do? I'm like,
Say you're a clown.
Podcast host. That's what I say.
Perfect. It's like, if that's what you do.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Traveling clown. I'm a traveling talker.
I usually just pick whichever thing. Like, I usually either go with veteran or EMT or mechanic, just because everybody likes people that can fix stuff, right?
Yeah, EMT. That's, I heard, look, EMT, where we, well, I'm an EMT. I was like, ooh, I'm a doctor. A doctor of love.
Yeah, that's like, another weird thing, isn't it? People that get, like, that what they do is their identity.
Yeah, in my early 20s, I had this whole thing where I, like, wanted to be elusive and, like, mysterious because I thought it was, like, sexy. So I would, like, go to bars, like, after work or whatever, and I'm, like, in New York, and, like, whatever. So I'm in the city, and, like, guys be, like, their first question, they would, like, turn to you, be like, so what do you do? And I would just be like, I make art, I make love, I make music. And they would just be like, no, I mean, like, what do you do for a paycheck? Oh, God. Well, I write blogs, like, and then the conversation would be like, whoop.
That is, yeah, a distinction, though, right? Like, what do you do for money versus what do you, like, do for, what are you passionate about? Like, blogging or whatever.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, we should start introducing ourselves more by what we're passionate about, less by how we make our money.
Yeah.
Right? Unless, like you make money with your art.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah,
you got it figured out. You're in a great spot.
Yeah, I mean, you just talk about hobbies, man. Like,
yeah.
So what do you do? Yeah, exactly. But I do. I make love. I make art. I make music. But I wanted to be like, yeah. I knew what they meant, you know? So it was just like, throw them off. Like, and then you ask them what they do. And it's like, I work and I watch Netflix. Oh, and I also take care of my like 4 kids. Meant to put that in there. Do you want to go home with me? Just like,
chilling, yeah.
Sure do.
Get that a lot. Got mouths to feed. Can't be out there bumping around in a van like you. I'm like, all right, man. There's people with kids doing this shit, too.
Yeah. I mean, you just got out of the military, so for you, it's like... I mean, not just got out.
Yeah, it was almost 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, my bad. All right. About 10 years ago, like, I was in New York City with the... I mean, I have stories about places that are, like, antics, like... Bizarre. I mean, I was... Let's just put it out there. I was, like, a wild woman. Right?
But, get it in while you're young, right?
Like, oh, it's, I'm in my 20s. This is what I'm supposed to do. And then, like, I meet people now that are, like, working for Google, like, SiriusXM. They're like, I wasn't doing any of that in my 20s. I was like, fuck. Why was I getting my feet licked in a club called Love by, like, some guy named Rex? Some bald-headed club owner. Oh, man.
Shout out to Rex.
Hold on. Okay. Yeah, you're a great person to me because you're, like, doing your thing, like, this is much more fun for me.
Yeah, I'm going to start introducing myself. Next time somebody asks me what I do, I'm going to say, I host a podcast.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, it's on the Back Homesick podcast.
I had my coworker in Colorado, one of the guys at the security company. It's his side hustle is selling decals online and in person and stuff. So, yeah, I had him make that for me. And then on the side wall over here, on the outside, there's a decal of like a little broadcast thing. That's an artist in West Virginia who's like a friend of the family.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Charlie Hamilton.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice that you can have some art up. That's one thing, like, trying to stick art in the windows of my car and whatnot up here.
Yeah.
I mean, so... I like the name Homesick. Like, I actually have on Instagram that I was able to snap conversion van artist, right?
Uh huh.
So that was like had more of a ring.
Oh, that was your Instagram name?
I have that. Okay, so I have that too. I was just like getting really happy go lucky with like a little name hungry, right?
Yeah.
Like Folk Heart Creations, like conversion van artist. Like, let me see what rings a bell to me. And, but yeah, I just stick with the one that I have. And if I ever want to, like, switch it over.
Yeah.
But I do want to put something on my van to get things popping. I'm just like.
Right, it motivates me too. I'm like, I see it, I'm like, fuck, I gotta work on that.
Yeah, no, it's good. I would say a little bit bigger on your car. You can get something, like, larger.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I wanted it to be subtle.
And we can also do like, yeah, I know you want it to be subtle.
Yeah.
You and your like utility van doing podcast.
All the toys on top.
Yeah, at least you got that makes it look less like
like you're creepy. Doing, I'm going to fix your pipes, or like...
Less like I'm, like I was going to ask you to help me move a couch.
Yeah.
Can you help me out with this?
Yeah, it's like, oh!
That guy talking, silence of the lamb.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to get this up in the van here. Yeah, if you could just get all the way up in the back there. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
I want to get like more grub. That sausage and peppers was delicious.
Thank you.
I'm thinking, like, this Roy boy is hitting me up. Like, he's, all right, like.
Go hang out with Roy.
And am I right about this? Hold up, though. He's like, I'm not trying to be a hater. And he's like, yo, you want to have, he's like, we can have some fun tonight, like, smiley face. I mean, maybe he's really, like, asking me to come kick it. And
I mean, that sounds like at least a little bit of a hint.
All right, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, so you don't want to try any the cuisine in the area?
I'm always down for tacos. That was my idea coming out to California. I was like, okay, I'll go by the beach. I'll buy $2 tacos every day. Cook another meal, you know, like one taco meal, one cook something meal.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, that place, what is it called? On the corner there. Did you read the sign? Moni's?
Yeah.
Moni's.
Yeah, M-O-N-Y.
Yeah, Moni's is not open on Sunday. Lee Crow. Can I have a little bit more wine?
Yeah.
Is there more? Did you pour more wine?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Boxed wine.
Mm.
Sausage and peppers. Good conversation.
That was turkey sausage too. That wasn't even kielbasa.
It was. Oh, turkey.
Yeah, that was all they had. Really good. It was all they had. It was overpriced. But.
Bastards.
Still, it's like a $7 for two people. It's hard to beat.
Yeah.
Telling you, that's how you keep those stacks. You can't just, you know, get your $150 and go get oysters and mojitos and shit. All
right, but most of the time, on some real...
Maybe some ramen.
This sweater that you like, I know it's like a podcast, can't see it, but it's really fucking fly.
It's a dope sweater.
Yeah, and this was from a clothing bank, right? And also, like, there are Salvation Armies. The one in Burlington, Vermont is excellent. But there are other, like, if you don't have food on the road, you really don't have to spend a dime on food if you know where to look. And there are churches, there are shelters, and there are...
Yeah, the food banks and stuff.
Food banks.
Yeah.
I was given from this one shelter in... I just stopped there because I needed a winter coat, and I didn't have anything. They gave me a box of food and, like, my pick of any of the coats there. I ended up just getting, like, a London fog because I actually needed it because it was... freezing. Not the most attractive coat, but I mean the one I had was like one of the ones that people use when they're like farming in Utah or something. I don't know, like really bulky
Carhartt.
What is it called?
Carhartt. Is it the beige brown color? Yeah. Rough jackets.
Yeah. But this is like
feels kind of like denim almost.
Yeah, except this was different because this was a London fog, so it had like the same look to it. But it was I think there was like down feathers.
I don't know
feathers
what a London fog is.
It's a brand. I don't know.
Okay.
The lady at the shelter was like, "It's a London fog." Like I was like,
"Oh,
okay."
Oh, cool. All right.
Like, all right. I still like I live behind a warehouse, but that's fine because I need it for the warmth. But anyways, yeah, so I ended up getting some grease. This shelter, okay, so the shelter gave me a little fuck. They gave me 14 chicken breasts in a package. Two slabs of beef.
That doesn't even make any sense, though. Like, you weren't able to use all
no,
that.
No, they didn't know. Well, they didn't, but I'm talking bulk stuff. I ended up giving it, I went to a rest stop.
Yeah.
I gave it to, see, the thing is, though, you never know when you could have used it because... Literally 2 days later, I ended up at my friend's house who could have, I could have cooked it at his house and, like, left it with him. But right. I ended up giving it to a guy at a rest stop who, like, didn't live in his van that could cook it and, like, just handed it to him. I was like, I can't do anything. He was like, thank you, ma'am. Like,
well, that's awesome. Like, in Colorado, when we would do the parks patrols, we would often see where the homeless people had went and got a bunch of food from the food bank, and then they take, like, two or three things out of it, and then they just leave it there. Fucking raccoons and squirrels are getting in it all night.
Oh, wow. I mean, good for them, though, because don't take shit that you don't need. And the last place I went in California right before I headed this direction, in right outside of San Diego, they had let me go through the box, the two boxes that they gave me, and was like, anything that you don't want, just leave it. And like, just because you're a beggar doesn't mean you can't be a chooser, okay? I hate that cliche, like, beggars can't be choosers. Yes, you can. because I don't like peanut butter and I don't like beans. And they had peanut butter and beans in there. I took them out.
These are two great van foods.
Yeah.
You can live on that.
I know.
I'm all about my peanut butter.
I don't like peanut butter and I don't like beans.
Peanut butter and bananas.
Exactly. I love
my breakfast usually.
I know. I like bananas, but peanut butter is just not my thing. So I'm not going to, like, and you know what? There's plenty of other food in there. Okay, the macaroni and cheese I can't necessarily use, but look, I just met you. You have a pot and a thing to, like, a propane gas thing. I mean, and who knows, that guy in San Jose, I could probably use his kitchen when I'm staying at his room.
Sure.
So, you know, there are ways to do that, and that's the fortunate part of us living in vans, too. I mean...
Yeah, you see, what do you really need for a kitchen? You need a heat source, you need something to cook on, you need, like, a good pot, a good pan, but, like... You don't need a fucking 500 square foot kitchen with stainless steel fixings and all this and that.
Some of the best food.
You need some fire.
Some of the best food I came up with was getting like the mystery bags from these shelters because, I mean, every day we go to the supermarket as people who are like in a routine and we will turn around and we will be like, okay, this week is what I'm planning for the week. Like Wednesday is spaghetti night. Monday is Tuesday's tacos. Monday is, let's go Spanish with it, like, arroz con pollo. Wednesday is spaghetti. You know, we go out on Thursday nights. And then Friday we have, I don't know, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know, mac and cheese, like, something simple. Or hot dogs or something. Okay, fine. Like, you can take it, you live your life that way. Or you can go in and, like, discover new recipes. Well, not most people that are working these jobs, like, hardcore jobs, like, I didn't want to go out and... have to like discover new recipes all the time, or like I'm sitting at the supermarket like, oh, now I know where everything is that I have to get, boom boom boom, I'm in and out. With these food banks, when they give you like this food like in these bags that you of just mystery foods,
right.
I mean, I've gotten some weird stuff in there, and then living in a van, I've had to take that and really put my cooking skills to the test. Sometimes we'll eat the same things as people. We don't break out of our
shell.
Get
into a routine. Because it's easy. Easy and comfortable, and you know you like it.
Yeah.
I like taking chances with food. Mm-hmm. I'll try stuff. Even if I go to a restaurant like El Pollo Loco. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about those before. I've just recently discovered that. Those are really fucking good. Like, really good fast food. They're doing all the chicken and stuff right there on the grill when you walk in. And it's like $6 burrito or something. But anyway, like the first time there, I tried one burrito and it was amazing. Second time back, I'm gonna try a different one. I'm not gonna go with the same one, even though I already know it's great.
Yeah.
But I try to put myself in that mindset of like, yeah.
Yeah, there are some really cool, there's some really good places out there that like are still healthy, fast, and the price is right too.
Yeah.
But I still, again, to promote these food banks and stuff, and these churches that help people that don't
have it's great for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I occasionally like I make some money for my writing, but some weeks are really, really rough. And those weeks that are rough, like it's good to be able to have food and to be able to get clothes when I need them. And so they are doing a lot for people. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily promote the shelters in New Jersey after what happened.
Right.
And or the resources in New Jersey for that matter. But I would say that the other states that I've been to, and I will say Burlington and Vermont's got it going on. I believe it was Tennessee. There was some church, man. I have a photograph of it. When I remember, I will tell you. Texas. Oh, it's Texas. Texas has got it going on.
Really?
Yeah.
That's when you would kind of like think the opposite, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, but I didn't go to a state-funded facility to the stuff I got. I went to a church. Yeah, I went to something, Iglesias Church. They gave me probably the best selection of things. No questions asked. They let me come in there. They had fresh produce. That's the guy that was like, I was like, do you have any bread? He's like, only artisan bread.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I wanted that Wonder Bread. So, like skin products, really good soap, solution, and everything bulk. Like, I feel like I was in a Costco or something.
Wow.
And high quality stuff. So,
I use the Dr. Bronner's.
Dr. Bronner's.
For my shower and dishes.
Yeah, dishes. You can also do laundry with it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I did coin laundry in like Santa Monica a a week ago or something. I almost torched all my fucking clothes when I did laundry like a week ago because I was trying to like run other errands. It was the first night I was going to the Comedy Store. That's what it was. Yeah, I was in West Hollywood or whatever. Yeah. And yeah, so I like I just without thinking put enough money in there so that I know it would be dry and I wouldn't have to come back and check it. I get back and there's like a funny smell in the air and like I opened it up and they were almost too hot to touch and fold.
Oh,
I was like, fuck. And then I found like one sock was like half the size of its mate.
No.
I was like, how does that even work? Like
this high power, high.
It was a strong dryer because I almost melted all of my wardrobe because I have because I've sold everything to now I can do all the clothes that I own or that I wear without you know before it's laundry time I can do that in one load.
You're best off just hanging them like letting them air dry. That's the best. They always smell so fresh.
Kevin, I don't have a clothesline in here. I'm not.
Just put them, literally hang them, open up your doors and like hang the clothes right over the side of the door. Find some sunlight. I mean, we're in California. The sun like gets pretty nice out here in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Boom. Like it'd be dry very quickly.
Yeah.
Here,
so yeah, van life tip. Watch your dryer. Yeah. Don't melt all your clothes.
That's like beginning life. tip. Like my mom doesn't do my laundry anymore. Tip.
No, it's not. I've been doing my laundry forever. I don't fall into that category at all, okay? My mom had to sign for the military so that I could go because I wasn't even 18 yet. I was still a kid when I joined. Mom had to...
I'm just playing with you. Oh, he's like, uh-uh. I've been doing my laundry since I was 12 years, honey. No, I feel you on that because, like, it's nice to have your laundry done for other people. So I might actually be, like, just after... Really? It's because of my car insurance... is like in February kaput and I'm gonna have to come up with another couple and you know what, the world is abundant so it may be possible but like $1,000 or so to just throw at my car insurance company to be able to hit the road again. And I'm very very lucky that like I ended up meeting someone that I can now like live with. I don't want to stop doing this travel blog and don't want to stop traveling, but I'm going to have to like just sit down and really get my funds together in order for me to be able to take my van back out when February comes. So it's like the journey hasn't come to an end completely, but it is certainly going to be a little bit of a hiatus of traveling. And let's see how I do. I don't know if I'm going to go nuts for a period of time.
I think it'll be a nice break because this is kind of tiring and kind of strenuous at times. But, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but I also, like... Yeah, I think about being in a set place. Even just getting a hotel or like something. It's nice to be in a house. Like my friend in California, Liv and Calissa, let me house sit for them for a little bit before I took off on my road trip. And I was doing the trailer thing at the time. So going from I was like, thanks for letting me be an indoor cat for a week or so. Like, it felt pretty good. Go from the shower to the bed.
There you go.
Go sit on the couch for a little bit,
and
watch a little TV.
Somebody else's
shit. Yeah.
Listen to this. Like, get your ass at a public library if you don't have a phone. If you have a phone, but if house sitting and dog sitting websites.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was just gonna say.
Yes.
What is the fucking name of that? Caretaker Gazette. My mom bought me a subscription for that as a gift. A while back, and that's like they post stuff for like Mexico and Costa Rica. Like, we need an English speaking caretaker for an Airbnb in fucking Costa Rica. Come down, and, you know, you'll have a room, we'll give you this much money a week. It's fucking pretty good deal, right?
All that work trade shit gets on my nerves. Let me put it to you plain and simple. You can get, I mean, it's still a good deal. Like, go work on a farm. There's people that go to Oregon to work on those weed farms.
As much weed
as you want to smoke, and you get paid like a couple $1,000 for being there for the summer, and you get to live there for free. Like, some people do really well out there. And I don't know if we have that gazette out in,
It's an online thing.
Yeah.
It's you just go online and subscribe to it, because they post worldwide with it. You'll see stuff from like Australia.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's neat. There's also Rover.com
okay. That
has, you can do dog walking, pet sitting, and overnight house sitting. So, I mean, you're taking care of their animals, but most of the time, I mean, I love dogs and cats, I love animals. Sometimes you can take care of people's birds. Cheaper than a kennel, and cheaper than like wherever else they bring animals. So then you have someone that comes, you meet them. It's just like any other interview. You make sure, you know, that you'll take care of things okay. And then sometimes you're there for a weekend. I mean, the last place I was in, I was living in a shelter. She paid for my Uber to go there to bring her to the house. I didn't have a car at the time. Stayed. Her husband was the producer to one of the first like graffiti documentaries. I forget the name of it, but it's like, I'm sure you can look it up.
Where was this? Jersey?
This was in Jersey, and I was in this beautiful neighborhood. It felt really nice because I was over here in the shelter, like dealing with, I mean, some of the, like, some great people but some terrible attitudes, living kind of like, not saying it's anything like the military, waking up at 5 in the morning, having to make my bed, put everything in bins, be out the door by 7 o'clock, having to like stay out the whole day,
yeah,
and then get back in, have to strip your bed in the morning and put it back together. Like, it was luxurious being able to get there, get paid.
Yeah.
To pretty much be in like a really beautiful home surrounded by artwork and, I don't know.
Hell yeah.
People that you vibe out with more.
Yeah. I'm on the, I signed up for the woofing thing. I was actually talking to a farm south of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Some people got in touch with me, like a wife and husband who have like a pumpkin farm and they grow a few other things. But that's like, do you know about that? It's you just go like volunteer.
Yeah.
Volunteer in exchange for like room and board and food.
Not as far as the pumpkin farm goes.
Yeah. Well, it's the woofing thing, yeah.
Oh.
You'll hear people, yeah, that's the name of the organization that like organizes it all, but mm-hmm. It's basically you pay a $40 membership and then they give you access to like all the phone numbers and stuff for everybody and you just start sending out emails and calling them. Mm-hmm. So I just did that a few days in a row, got some responses and yeah, I might do that. Just go have somewhere to park my van and like the people I was talking to, they're a 10-minute walk from the beach and they, you know, they're asking for like 5 hours of work a day and you get to learn about farming and
that's actually similar to
learn new stuff. Yeah.
Something similar. It is called, oh my gosh, it's a spiritual program, development program. Can't remember the name of it now. Again, I wish I could tell you more of these things. But it's been so much. I mean, this was 6 months ago and everything that's happened, like, so anyways, I was going to do it. They pretty much have people that volunteer. I mean, some of the people that come out of there, they basically are camping on their land and then working for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get workshops. You can teach some of your own. I think it's good for people who have their own, maybe holistic medicine or holistic health care things that they want to get out there to other people. And they get to kind of experiment in a social setting, bring that to life in this environment. But at the same time, they're also doing this... they're also working and volunteering, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether that be in the kitchen or like the bookshop they had there or on the grounds. So they give you an interview. I got accepted to go, but I got my van and, I gave them my you have to have references too. So I gave them my references. They wanted me to be a part of it. Then I got my van and I made the choice to leave. So even though I said it wasn't a choice, I actually did have a couple options. Three options I was given. I could have went to that volunteer program. I could have lived in a van. The same guy that bought me the van said, I'll give you a van or I'll pay your rent for a year.
A year?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but he's also he's a wealthy person. I mean, he has a wife and kids. Like, he's just happens to be a friend of mine. And I think, like, part of, maybe he's just a charitable person.
That's a crazy generous offer.
Yeah, but I chose the van.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's more fun.
Travel.
And if it blows up next week, you gotta go back to him. But hey, man, that van, and we're gonna talk about that rent deal again.
Nah, one thing. It's totally dumb. One thing I love about this guy is like, I think it's cool when people are just pretty much direct. Like, mm-hmm. this, like, here is what I can give you or whatever. Like, well, no, I mean, all right, fine. Just don't play games with me. Like,
right.
I think I actually did go back to him to ask him for some money. He's like, nah, dude, like, I can't do any more. Like, for now. Maybe he could if it was, like, the last option, but, again, that was, like, at a time where I forgot that the kindness of strangers existed. It was, like, right at the beginning of the journey, and I think I was flipping out because I started getting fines from the tickets I got, and that sort of thing. But, yeah, he's, like, not Daddy Warbucks.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good guy.
Yeah.
Where do you want to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Find something else to do.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yes, so.
It's been good. Covered a lot of shit.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Again. Thanks for coming on.
Folk Heart Creations. Folk as in people, heart as in love, creations as creating, creations. Xandra Doe. Sometimes go by Xandra, Xandra D. And yeah, I'm a traveler, artist, musician, and writer.
Perfect. It was a good second interview episode.
Thanks
for me.
Thanks, brother man.
Thank you.
That's the end of the show, folks. If you made it all the way through that one, I applaud you. There was a lot of random talk, and I mean, shit, we were drinking box wine the whole time and smoking a little bit, so what are you gonna do? California, right? Give me some feedback. If you made it all the way through that one, shoot me an email at contacthomesickpodcast@gmail.com. No capitals, no nothing. Or shoot me a message on Instagram, Homesick Podcast. I want to hear from you sickos. You 40 or so weirdos. Anyway, I think we're going to try and leave this Pismo Beach area today. Unfortunately, they have signs posted up in a lot of places that say overnight camping can result in a fine, yada, yada, yada. So Planet Fitness up in Paso Robles that I'm going to head towards tonight. Hopefully that's a friendlier town. I think it's just because Pismo Beach is a real big touristy place. Santa Barbara was pretty cool. There seemed to be plenty of people doing it around there. And that was a nice place. Santa Barbara, shit. I enjoyed it down there. Anyway, it's been fun, guys. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. Kick ass, take names. Homesick Podcast, out.